This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Homesdale Radio, sponsored by fanduel.co.uk.
The next generation of fantasy football.
Hello and thank you for downloading the Homesdale Radio podcast. First up in this pod, this special edition pod, is a chat with Steve Parrish, about half an hour for you. After we do that, we'll have a quick chat about our initial reaction to a couple of the points that were raised during it. Then we'll round off the horrible Christmas period we've had since our last show, and then we'll let you go. So enjoy.
Get in touch with the show. All of our contact details can be found at holradio.net/contact.
Okay, so joined by Steve Parrish, Palace Chairman. Steve, obviously, thank you for joining us. It's been a tough time, certainly the last few weeks, couple of months in particular. I think when we arranged this interview, there hadn't been the manager change, so I probably do have to start there, really. So the timing of that, what kind of brought that on, the sort of that had to happen the way it did, the way it panned out?
I just felt that we needed to make a change, and probably we needed to do it before the transfer window. I think that we just needed a new voice, really. Alan worked tirelessly to turn things around, and there were some signs. You know, it wasn't a clear-cut decision. I think it was on a knife edge all the time, really. I think a point at Man United might have changed things. The win at Hull, so many games where we were so close. I think Alan's got a strong case that the refereeing hasn't helped him. I think, you know, the Snodgrass decision is massive. As last night, you know, I think it would take the most one-eyed opposition fan to say that we haven't had the rub of the refereeing decisions. I mean, I saw Jose complaining about not getting a penalty against us. Well, you know, in the first minute, early in the first half, you know, Wilfried's nearly cut in two. And that has now been issued as guidance, as a definite red card.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are not things, by the way, that we don't follow up on. And they're not things, when I say that the Snodgrass dive should have been a sending off, that's fact. You know, everybody agrees that. So it's a double penalty for us. We get a penalty against us when it should be a second yellow and a sending off. Similar last night. I think, again, Christian goes through. How it's not a penalty, I'll never know. Whether it's a sending off, there's a little bit of cover coming through. We end up with an injured striker and no penalty, you know. So these moments change games drastically. You know, I know Swansea are a possession side. That's what they do. We were more direct. And in that directness, you know, we created an opportunity. And in the end, that's all that matters in football, is the opportunities that you create and the goals that you concede. Not, you know, everything else that goes on is noise, really. And then the handball in the second half. I mean, it's as clear handball as I've ever seen in my life. There's no ambiguity about it. Is it intentional? He pushes the ball away with his left hand. And that's in the context of I can't remember one penalty shout. Add that to the fact that Wilfried Zaha now, it seems, has to be beheaded to get a free kick. I mean, I had Arsenal fans texting me that they were actually embarrassed about the decisions that he wasn't getting against them. So, look, let me be really clear. As a team, as a unit, as an organisation, as a football club, we're not running away from our performances on the back of refereeing decisions.
Yeah.
at all. You know, I want to be very clear on that. You know, we've made mistakes. We've thrown games away. We've got to win games in spite of bad refereeing. That's what we've got to do. But, you know, it's not helped our cause. But we can't get a persecution complex. You know, as we said to Wilfred, you can't let it get you frustrated. You know, I know it is frustrating, but, you know, you've just got to think of the next run and the next attack.
It's hard not to, though, isn't it, Stephen? When you consider, you've mentioned in sort of the refereeing incidents there, but when you sort of factor in the number of injuries we've had, the number of just, you know, even things like bad ricochets in games, it does kind of feel like we have no luck right now, as well as you say, we've had some...
Yeah, but listen, sometimes your luck comes in patches, and maybe at the beginning of last season, when we went on that, you know, we ended up fifth before Christmas and all that stuff, maybe we had a lot of luck go our way then. And maybe it's just come, instead of coming in, you know, even patches, it's arrived at us in great big lumps, good luck and bad luck. And we've got to keep going and hope that that turns. You know, we do get some decisions our way and that we do get the rub of the green. And we've all got to keep working hard at that. And the fans have got to keep with us. I know it's difficult. Got booed off at half time last night, and we'd probably hold our hands up and say we deserve that. So we're not being critical, but you know, I know the sensation that everybody's got. You know, when we were on our way up, we didn't have something, and we might get it, and that made us feel a certain way about it. If we didn't get it, it wasn't the end of the world. Now we've got something. We've got this place in the Premier League that's precious. You know, and we all thought we were going to do better this season as well. So we're all, everybody, I didn't meet a fan at the beginning of the season with the squad that we had that didn't think we were going to get better. You know, I read all this stuff about we shouldn't have signed this person, we shouldn't have done this, we shouldn't have done that. At the beginning of this season, all of us stood together and said, we've got a great squad and we've got a great chance to do well in this division. And, but for a bit better in-game management, We definitely would have done better, I think. We would be in a better position. You know, we've got to take a lot of comfort from a lot of the performances we had. Sam's first half. I think the first half took Sam by surprise yesterday because he'd had a great first half at Watford. Not a bad second half. We should have won the game. Then Arsenal's Arsenal. You know, you kind of go there and you're not... You can't really judge the team on a performance like Arsenal because it's such a difficult place to go. Then obviously the first half, you know, we didn't get close to them. We weren't good enough. Now, the fatigue does play a part. I know supporters don't want to hear it. You know, how we get two games in 2 days is beyond me. You know, why there's any need for that, I don't understand. You know, all the sports science will tell you that it's not really possible to play at top tempo. But we've got to look at why we're conceding these late goals. You know, we've got to look at the trepidation that's coming into the team whenever we're in the league. And you know, as much as we can, we've got to try and get some reinforcements. I think just to lift everybody. You know, it's no secret that we're short on injuries. We have got a few coming back. I mean, the news is that Christian's injury isn't as bad as we feared. Scotty Dan's coming back. And James is coming back as well. So, you know, we've got some issues, we know, with various things, but that's looking positive. And we've got to start trading on the positives, and we've all got to get in a positive frame of mind. I think, you know, the first season, when we were where we are now, probably below, we all just travelled in hope and expectancy, and if we didn't get it, we didn't get it. Now, we've created this, you know, it's the end of everything. If we get relegated, well, it's not a good thing for the club if we get relegated. Nobody wants to get relegated, trust me. You know, no one feels worse today than me or the manager or the players. No one, right? They're not a supporter out there. If anybody thinks that we all just go to bed, you know, and we just go, oh, well, you know, never mind. You know, this is, we all fear the same issues as you guys. But in a way, it's stopping us performing if we're not careful. It's stopping the crowd performing. It's stopping the team performing. You know, we're not going to get anywhere if we're just nervous all the time, collectively. You know, we've got to try and recapture that feeling and worry less about the downside and have more optimism about the upside and get more positivity that we will survive. We are going to be here. We are a good enough team. We're not suddenly a bad team overnight. Everybody's seen our performances this year. You know, there have been times where we've played fantastic football. You know, but confidence, we're all a part of this. I've said it when we're doing well. Nobody can say I didn't say it when we were doing well. Nobody can say that I didn't thank the fans and mean every word of it, of what a part of it they were, of what we've achieved. Always said that, and it's true. And now they're even more a part of it. This is even more important. And we have to stay together. You know, I'm going to do my best. This manager's going to do his best. The players are going to do their best. I promise you that. And that's where we are. And we're going to, you know, I've spoken to Josh and David. You know, we're going to do what we can in the context of, you know, we've got cost control. It isn't just as simple as going and splurging money and doing what we want. You know, we have to operate within the rules. But we're moving heaven and earth to make sure that we can do the things that we need to do to support the manager and support the team. So, you know, and also, guys, just on bad luck, Papa's car accident. You know, and obviously Connor's crew shirt. These are massive blows. But Lowick will get some game time, we think, this weekend. You know, he's coming back to full fitness. So we've got positives, and we've got to capture those positives. I remember when Yannick and Milo went away, if you remember, a couple of years ago, where everyone said we were never going to win a game, disaster, and we did. You know, everybody's got their theories about why it's going wrong. It's our job to try and put our finger on it and make it right. And that's what we're all working tirelessly to do. That's really the big message to the supporter base. You know, I do listen to it as much as I can to the point where it doesn't affect me so much that I can't do what I'm trying to do. You know, I can't wake up today to read a thread on the BBS that says we are definitely going down. You know, I can't let that stuff in my life. You know, that's just not going to help any of us, because it's not where I am mentally, you know, and it's just not where I can allow myself to be, or the players can, you know. We have to go into games believing, and my job is to help regenerate that belief amongst everybody. I realise that, and it's a real burden, but it's also a privilege, and I've always thought it's a privilege. And now it's tough moments, and I'm not running away, the players aren't running away, the manager's not running away, the fans were all there last night, and I thank them for that. And we need to just stick together, you know, and maybe the breaks come at a good time for us. Sometimes, you know, we often these breaks happen, but you know, we've got an FA Cup weekend, we've got a little bit more time to work on players, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to try and keep a calm head while we're doing it.
Now, it's interesting you talk about, you know, the time where we didn't really have anything, and we didn't care almost if we won or lost. We were just kind of along for the ride and what have you. Because in preparation for this sort of chat, I was thinking back to that, and whether or not maybe me personally or fans as a whole have lost that bit of perspective where we should be upset. And it also got me thinking about how does this period as a chairman compare to the sort of trouble when you took the club over, you know, because that had its own stresses of trying not to get, you know, relegated from the Championship and all that. Is it that much harder now with what's at stake?
Of course. And I've been doing it, I don't know, I'm coming into my sixth, seventh year, I think. Of course it's tough. It seems so much harder than when we took over or when we arrived in the Premier League. I don't remember feeling the pressure like this. No. You know, when Tony came in, for example, or when Alan came in, I don't remember feeling like this, you know, or sensing this feeling from everybody. You know, and I do recognise what everybody feels because I feel it, you know. And as I said, I think it's a blend of, we've now got something that that we're used to having, that we feel we might lose. And we've all disappointed ourselves a little bit with our beliefs that, you know, we would do much better this season. and we want to rail at that in a way, you know, and we want to look for scapegoats and we want to look for people to blame, you know, and it's the manager or it's Steve Parish or it's, we've all made mistakes. You know, everybody knows I'm not one of those people who says, oh, if the manager did this, the manager did that. I worked with the manager to try and create, and the staff we've got and the scouts and the recruitment system to try and create the best outcomes that we could. And, you know, we've not performed to the level that we thought we would. Not acceptable. My performance, not acceptable. I have to face up to that. I have to look at why things have gone the way they've gone and review it and try and do better. You know, that's the only reason to look backwards is to make sure you learn from your mistakes. And maybe we got a bit complacent, you know. Success is a really bad teacher, as Bill Gates said, because it makes smart people think that they can never get things wrong, you know. And maybe we've got a little bit of that. Now we're where we are, and we have to get out of it. That's all that matters, really. Everything that's gone before is irrelevant, you know. I have agents, you know the problem is you should have done this, and the problem is you should have done that. That's great. In June, we'll have a chat, or after January, we'll have that conversation. Right now, this is where we are, right? We forget all the games we've thrown away. Forget all the points we've lost. We've got 18 games, is it? 18 yep. games to drastically improve our position. The good news is, we're not in the bottom three. The good news is, we've got winnable games. The good news is, we've got a decent squad. The bad news is, we're low on confidence. And we're lacking in a few areas. And, we've got to try and fix that. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated, I think. If you just talk about where we are. If you focus on mistakes that we think we've made and you keep going over and over and over in your mind, it doesn't give you the clarity that you need to just accept that where we are today is where we are and all we can do is try and fix what we've done.
Yeah. So on the subject of fixing what we've done, obviously Sam's come in. He was available because of the England situation. Talking of the BBS you mentioned earlier, there's a thread of questions on there which I've sort of filtered through. If you get a bit of time, might be worth a read, they've suggested, I tell you. But I've sort of filtered through it, and there's a lot of questions about the decision to choose Sam. Some people saying, you know, did what happened with England sort of cross your mind? But also whether or not Sam will be sort of bringing in his own staff, and whether or not there's going to be that kind of a change. So sort of two questions in one there.
Well, look, Sam's had, what, how long has he been here now? I don't know, a week and a half, is it?
Since Watford, yeah.
So, you know, he's just really coming to terms with everything and, you know, understanding what we've got, and obviously those 2 points we threw away at Watford are just invaluable, they would have been, and that would have taken the pressure off of us so much. But no matter, he's seen 3 games, he's got a very clear idea of everything, and we're making all of those decisions now in terms of what we need to get us back on track. And in terms of what Sam's done before, I looked at his track record as a club manager. You know, we all know what happened with the sting operation. There's no FA charge, there's no criminal charge. I've listened to what went on. Aside from being perhaps, what would be the right word, uncensored a little bit in what he thought was private company, there's nothing there. I mean, he did wrong. There's no reason for him not to come back into club management or any form of management, in my view.
Well, fair enough. I mean, obviously, it does seem to sort of split the fan base, whether or not they feel that way. But like you say, I mean, you've talked about it yourself. Everyone does make mistakes, and I guess obviously, like any other manager, Sam Allardyce's period at Palace will be judged on the results he gets. At the bottom line, is there pressure of getting results again? Is that something where, you know, because Sam was out there and available, there's all sorts of stories about him sending dossiers and all that kind of stuff. Is it just the fact that, you know, we needed that change and you had a manager of that calibre available that made it an easy decision, or were others under consideration?
I was actually thinking last night that sometimes I feel sorry for fans in the amount of their hours of their life, of their precious lives, that they have to, you know, they have to allow to consider nonsense. Literally stuff that's just nonsense. There's no dossier. There's no... There's no Americans made me do this. It's just nonsense. You know, we're absolutely as one trying to solve the problems for this football club. If we don't speak every day, every other day, you know, I've never ever had a problem with justifying my thought process to people and letting that be challenged. Whether that was by Stephen Browett, you know, I rang him the other day. You know, he's still a shell in the club. Whether it's by David or Josh or anybody else. You know, the aim is to find the right answer, not my answer or your answer, the right answer. The press will always try and create splits between the manager and the chairman and other owners. That, you know, that's their job to do that. Of course it's, you know, what did Denzel Washington say the other day? He was asked about, you know, fake news and all this stuff. And he said that, you know, if you don't read the papers, you're uninformed. If you read the papers, you're misinformed. And first has become the only thing that matters. Truth is completely lost in the desire to be first. First is all that matters. With any story, they have to be first. No matter how uncorroborated it is, no matter how fabricated it is. I mean, it's fascinating to me whether people actually sit there and just literally make it up, or whether there is somebody puts two and two together, makes five, and then passes it on. I mean, there's one guy that writes about the club regularly. I mean, he wrote an article last week, really nice guy. I give up. I don't know where you get it from. I just really don't know where you get it from. Out of five facts, there might be one that's got a grain of truth. The rest of it is literally just completely wrong. But I can't, again... You learn to deal with it. I mean, Lord knows what it's like if you're Tottenham or Arsenal. You know, we have to accept the amount of stories that, you know, probably four or five-fold that they have to put up with. So one assumes actually the way it's easy to ignore, because there's so many and sometimes they're so contradictory that what can you do?
Yeah. Just phone you and ask, you know. You could probably tell half the time with this, right?
Well, you know, that might be one of their... defences, you know. I mean, am I going to get into that really?
Yeah,
occasionally, a journalist, you know, a journalist texted me the other day, have you had a 40 million bid from China for Benteke? And I just said, no, it's not true. I've done anything about it. You know, there isn't an email or a bit of paper that's coming to our office that says that, you know. So, how that story comes into being. You know, I'm perfectly prepared to believe a journalist doesn't just sit there and go, oh, I'll write a story that said this. I'm perfectly prepared to believe someone told them that as fact. But I'm not, you know, my job's not to corroborate on not every journalist's story. Because in the end, particularly in the transfer window, I'm giving a piece of information away, aren't I, that I might not want to give away. And then when I don't answer them, you know, they just assume it's true. Because then I'm not, do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just a game. I don't plant stories in the press. I don't play that game, you know, that because if you play that game, then don't be surprised when other people are doing it, you know, to destabilise your player or destabilise your club or whatever, you know. So you just have to block it out, really. But I feel sorry for the fans, because I know how difficult it is to do that, especially when it's your club and you care about it so much and you want the answers. And then, of course, there's all this stuff, you know, if I go on anything, you know, then there's the whole chorus of, you know, why is he constantly on the radio? And I mean, I think I've done Talk Sport. I think I've done Talk Sport twice. Normally, it's for a reason, guys. You know, it's for a reason. I don't go on Talk Sport at 11 o'clock at night because I like the sound of my own voice, contrary to what some supporters think. I've got a million opportunities to do all that stuff if I wanted to. There's so many hours of television and radio and newspaper columns to fill. I could work, 12 hours a day I could be on the radio and if I wanted to. The bits that I do to do my job, I'm more than happy to come on to here. This is for the fans. Unfortunately, you guys, it will get reported everywhere. You know, that's how it is. It doesn't matter what I do. And sometimes you just can't say the right thing, can you? So,
no, we'll get a stick for this as well, for not asking questions.
There'll be an article, I trust you, because of what I said at the beginning, Paris slams Premier League referee, for example, right? I promise you, there'll be an article in the next 4 days that says that. So why would I do these things? It gets harder and harder with the Premier League to talk to the support base. I'm one of the only chairmen that ever talks to anybody, the fans or anybody else. Everybody else is fed up with it. Why would they bother saying anything? Because it all gets twisted and bent out of shape, you know. And of course, the noise comes from all the discontented people. I understand that, you know. The most discontented people are the ones that are the most motivated to go on social media. But are they reflective of the 26,000 I see at the stadium every week? Not really. No. I really don't think they are. I get nothing but positivity from those people. And thanks for the work that we're trying to do. You know, I don't ever you know, one of the great ones is, I like, even though he's made loads of mistakes, I like Steve Parrish. He's, you know, I think he's been good. I hate to think, you know, 7 years ago we were in administration. We've been in the Premier League for the longest period of our lives. We've got a training ground that we own. We've got a much improved stadium, even though if it's not to the extent that we want it to, there's a lot of under the surface improvements, you know, to the infrastructure of the stadium that will be there for a better facility to be built on top of. Even if I go back and look at the pictures of that old blue corrugated iron stand, it's decent. You know, we've got a new fan zone being built, media centre's been built. You know, there's people forget all the improvements that have been made. I wish I could take them in a time machine back to when we arrived and just remind them, you know, how bad it was. You know, yeah. There's millions been sunk into the infrastructure of the club, into the scouting setup, the training ground is unrecognisable. It's a proper professional training ground. You know, it had been sold before we got there. We had to buy it back. You know, we had 7-8 players or something when we arrived. So, you know, this was a broken club when we turned up. And now it's a much, much better club. Is it exactly where I want it to be? No, I'm as discontented as the most discontented fan most days, trust me. And I haven't achieved, you know, anywhere near what I want to for this football club. But I think people need to remember where we've come from and how much we've achieved. I really do. And try as much as they can to take some of these stories that they hear with a pinch of salt.
No, that's fair. That's fair play. I'm going to let you go fairly shortly because I think we said about 5 minutes. You've done about half hour, so really appreciate that. But a couple of things I just kind of want to tick off the list before I do that. January transfer window plans. Obviously, everyone wants us to sign players straight away. Usually do business at the end. Most people do. That's just how the window works. But are we close on anything at the moment?
Well, close, not close, close. You know, I mean, I would be really disappointed if we didn't have something in place, you know, for West Ham. That's got to be the aim, isn't it? Everybody needs a list. You know, we recognise that. But, you know, we're not going to just be taken advantage of as well. You know, we've got the long-term future of the club at stake. So we're doing the best deals that we can with the time that we've got available. And Sam's working tirelessly on it, watching videos, looking at opportunities. I'm working on 2 or 3 that we think are real possibilities. You know, people have to remember it's not just wanting a player. The player's got to be available. So there are a lot of dead ends, you know, where you're told a player's available, then you ring the club. You know, we've got people that can speak all the different languages. We try and shortcut it as quickly as possible. Get to the sporting director or the chairman of the club, particularly if it's overseas. Are you selling this player? Is he available? Because, you know, you can waste so much time, particularly on the overseas ones. So we are doing our best. I genuinely, we're not doing anything else, you know, yeah, other than that. Morning, noon and night. There's not a lot of sleep going around at the moment. And, you know, we've got to make our money go as far as possible, haven't we? Because, you know, we'd like to bring in more than one player. So it's a question of just doing what we can. And we've got this, you know, cost control that we have to work through as well, which gives us an issue. So it isn't as simple as just even overpaying, because we overpay, then it reduces what we can do on other things.
I take it from that, will there potentially be movement out?
You don't know. I mean, at the moment, it's not a priority. You know, it could help us free up some money on the wage bill, on the cost control. So it's not out of the question. But, you know, right now, I think we kind of more of an inflation we need to add to what we've got, rather than, but we'll see. We'll see as the window develops.
Okay. Lots of people asking for a stadium update. You sort of mentioned there the work that's been done already. And I know generally the answer seems to be when we've got something to announce, we'll announce it. But any progress being made on that?
Yeah, there is progress being made. We've got a development head of development that we've taken on. And we're looking at all the projects. And we have made some movement. But we're not going to really be ready to show anything. There may be, the eagle-eyed fans may look out for some planning applications that might go in. We've got this promise that we've all made to the authorities, if you like, to the level playing field, and that we will try and get the prerequisite number of wheelchair spaces in the ground. Now, that's another 100. At the moment, that looks like we could have to take out up to 3,000 seats to make that happen. So that's a big project that we've got for this summer. And obviously, we don't want to take out that many seats, so we're trying to find another way around it.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because the problem is, not just the bay, the problem is the access and the ramps. We haven't got any elevators in the space anywhere. There's not a single elevator. There's three elevator shafts in the Holmesdale, but there's no elevators in them. And then it's the access and obviously the safe exiting of supporters. So, you know, we're committed to do it. We don't want to lose 3,000 seats if we can avoid it. But we're sure we can get it down from that. So there are always a number of immediate projects. The floodlights, I've just gone in. Again, this whole thing with the standard thing, as I said, I mean, I would agree with everybody. They are very bright. If you go to all the clubs that have got these, they are. I think 900 lumens with a piece of paper. I think lumens is the right expression. 900 lumens with a piece of paper facing upwards was what we used to have. It's now 1,800 with a piece of paper held vertically. And this is the super slow motion. It was a directive that we had to put in. So, you know, we've done that. That's another £1 million investment in the stadium. So there's lots of things that are going to the stadium to improve it, you know, but still too many pillars and views that we want to improve. And we're trying to see if we can do something in this close season to start to make an improvement that people will see.
Okay, great. And sort of finally, really, on the catch-up bits, really, it's the academy training ground. A few people asking about that, whether there's been any progress made there on a home for the youth teams.
Yeah, we've got progress on that. So we're selecting architects to work on a site. We've improved it no end where they are, and it's pretty decent actually. If you go there, we've sunk some money into it, and it's okay. But there's a site that we quite like the look of. Obviously, planning as usual will be difficult. But again, in the next 6 months or so, eagle-eyed people might see a planning application going.
I'm sure those planning applications will arrive on the BBS pretty much the second that they've been submitted. So really appreciate you updating us on that. And basically coming on and giving us reason to be optimistic, I hope.
That's what I genuinely feel about it. And you know, I love this club, as everybody knows. And I just want us to keep what we've got and grow it and go forwards. And, you know, Josh and David sit and watch every single gaff, you know, and they're as committed to it as I am. And trust me, they're worried, if not more worried, even, I would say. You know, they bought Premier League Football Club. That's what they want to be a part of. So we're all committed to staying in this division. We're not going to go, if the worst does happen, none of us want to look back and say we didn't give it our best shot.
Yeah, of course. Steve, thank you so much for your time. It's so appreciated.
Absolute pleasure.
And cheers, I'm sure guys. We'll catch up again soon. Cheers. Thank you.
All best. Take care.
Bye.
Got something you'd like to get off your chest? Tweet us now at Hull Radio.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, hope you enjoyed that chat with Steve Parrish. Plenty in there for you to digest. I am joined by Lucy White.
Hello.
Hello. Nick Philpott.
Good evening, listener.
Good evening. And the giant, Tim Warren.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you this time.
From up there, yeah.
Right, well, so much to sort of digest there in what Steve said. We won't spend too long talking about it because I'm sure you'll have your own views as well. And obviously it's better to listen to the words that Steve said himself rather than us lot. Nick, your initial reaction to the transfer window chat. Sounds like we're pretty close on some things.
I think he's said, he alluded to the fact that we're close to one, hopefully by the West Ham game, and they would like more. Interesting that he also specified that he thought there might be room for at least maybe one to go, which I don't think is a bad thing because it will release funds for the impending incoming one. So, yeah, again, very good chat. Thank you, Steve, and very candid.
Yeah, Tim, obviously we talked about the fact he mentioned several occasions the restrictions the club are working under with regards to the cost sort of expenditure. I mean, probably got to be near the top of the wage cap that we've got, I guess, in financial fair play. Was that something that you kind of considered going into this window?
I think it just shows how far we've come, really, in recent times. I mean, it's just a different ball game now, isn't it, compared to those Championship days where you could sign pretty much anyone you wanted to. These days, obviously, there are the restrictions in place. And, yeah, you know, you probably don't, as a fan, you probably don't consider it as much as like hearing it from the horse's mouth, if you like.
It literally hadn't occurred to me that we might be close to that. You know, these things, I think they work in 3-year cycles usually, but we must have obviously been paying some pretty decent money. But when you think about people like Remy, who've come in on loan, there's probably a fair old wage on him, given that he's a Chelsea player, and yet we haven't even seen him yet.
But no, so, I mean, let's hope we get to see him in action this weekend.
Sounds like he'll play, doesn't it? So, or at least get some minutes. Luce, if we are going to sign a player before West Ham, who would you hope it is, or at least what position would you hope it is?
Well, it's left back, isn't it? That's where we're crying out for the most. But well, it's signing anybody before the 31st of January would be ideal. But well, I mean, I've seen on Twitter today that we're linked to that left back from Montpellier. I don't know how close that is, but it would be nice to actually get a left-footed defender.
Left-footed, left-back. No, it was interesting when Steve was talking about the transfer window. He sort of referred to having to seek out, you know, they've got people who speak all the languages. They can seek out the sporting directors at overseas clubs. It did make me immediately think that the closest deals we've got are for overseas
foreign
players.
Ones, yeah.
That would potentially point to that, to the left back you mentioned, Luce. I'm going to need a name for that, aren't I? Otherwise we sound rubbish.
Jerome Roussillon.
Oh, of course. I honestly don't know him. I can say it in a French-ish sounding voice, therefore that recovers our integrity.
Are you stroking your beard as you say it?
Of course. Of course I am.
Too many visions there. Move on.
Fine. Spoil all my fun. Also mentioned, which is really good news, very, very quickly in passing, is that Christian Benteke's injury doesn't look anywhere near as bad as they thought. Hooray!
Hurrah.
Ray, we'll talk about his performance and the performance of the rest of the team in that game against Swansea a little bit later. I'm just scratching my own legs with my nails as I'm talking about that game. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm fine. Also, we talked about Nick, was the stadium. Some big developments on both that and the academy.
Yeah. Listen out with your eagle ears, is what you said, didn't he?
He did. They would have already heard it, wouldn't they? Because we're going to put this after that.
But I think, I'll tell you what shocked me there with that. He said the new lighting was £1 million. £1 million for a light show.
Yeah. Fortunately, we got to the end of our time because I was going to actually say about 80% of the questions we got for you, Steve, are around the light show.
Yeah. I noticed he didn't pick up on that. He just scooted over it. But £1 million seems quite excessive for a few.
But the watts. Fascinating thing I found from that, okay, yeah, these things do a crazy light show that people are a little bit worried will be causing people fits and what have you. But, and I'm probably there's a serious aspect to that. I mean, I know Mikey was. Although I don't think he's photosensitive epileptic, he is epileptic and was saying it might cause problems with people. But that aside, it was interesting to hear that because of the ultra high definition cameras, that's why those lights had to be upgraded for £1 million.
But it wasn't the lights that gave me a fit, it was the football that gave me a fit last night.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if there's anything else we want to pick out from that conversation. I'm sure I mentioned another one in our little chat a minute ago that we're going to edit out. My brain doesn't really work, though.
Big Sam. Really,
it was the appointment, Big Sam. You're quite right, Tim. So, well reminded. So what did you make of the comments there? Obviously, I did sort of brought up that were there any reservations, and pretty much unequivocally, Steve said he's not really done anything wrong there. And he's not the only person to have said that to me. I kind of went a bit quiet and didn't know what to say in response because I've been quite open about my own feelings on that, and I wasn't spoiling for a row today. It's not really the time or place. And as Steve had said, people do make mistakes. It's not one that I was particularly happy with. And I wouldn't necessarily say personally that you can accept someone of Sam McAllardyce's experience being seemingly naive or whatever. But he does raise the other side of it it does raise the other side of it in that, He does feel that it was a setup.
The Pardew thing was a setup, but I think it was also quite clear in what Steve said that he's been brought in to do a particular job, and that particular job is to keep what is valued to us, and that's our Premiership status. And I think he made that quite clear in what he was saying. He was never brought in for the quality of his football or his integrity. We know that, okay, but he's here to do a job, and that's to keep us in the Premier League.
Tim, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, whoever gets appointed as a manager of Crystal Palace, it's going to be divided opinion, just like with transfer targets. I mean, my personal view with these kind of decisions, without trying to sit on the fence too much, they're kind of out of my control. So I try not to get too kind of wound up by it, if you like, because what will be. And like was said in the interview, at the end of the day, Big Sam's going to be judged on results at the end of the day. And I think that's where Steve Parish was coming from, really.
It's interesting that you said you weren't going to sit on the fence, yet you found yourself a nice comfy seat right up there, didn't you? okay, well, that'll do. That's just a quick reaction from us. But like I say, it's more important that you probably listen to the words that Steve said rather than our review of them and form your own opinions, which I'm sure you'll be happy to do. So let's talk about the Christmas period of games. Basically, last time we were on air, Alan Pardew had just been sacked and we were reacting to it. Since then, we've drawn 1-1 with Watford, we've lost 2-0 to Arsenal, and somehow lost 2-1 to the atrocious rubbish that is Swansea City. with one of our worst performances in recent memory. And I don't say that lightly either, because we've got quite a long memory. Luce, first of all, Watford. It was the supposed new dawn. We actually, I think as Steve probably mentioned, we actually did all right first half, got ourselves into the lead eventually. You know, we looked at a reasonable side, but it did kind of get away from us second half once Watford had adjusted for some early injuries. So it really did feel like 2 points dropped, didn't it?
It was just the whole Christmas period, and obviously Watford was the beginning. It was just, it's just so depressing. Like, we started off all right, and then we just kind of like gave up. Like, I wasn't at the game. I watched it on telly, like probably most of us did. But it was just, it was really disheartening. The fact that we did so well and then sort of like crashed and burned. I mean, we got a point, but we shouldn't be getting just a point at the likes of Watford.
Yeah. Nick, Steve Parish himself mentioned it, actually. He said, if we had got the 2 points that he felt we deserved in that game, and I'll go along with that, we were the better side overall, even if we did have a real struggle in the second half. If we had those two extra points, it probably would have made a bit of a difference to the kind of fear that we've seen the players playing with since.
Without any shadow of a doubt, I think, you know, you look at the total points tally out of the three games, 1 point, just 1 point and one goal just isn't good enough. I mean, that was, had, you know, the Benteke penalty gone home, it would have been a different result. I think I'd actually had it planned over Christmas that it would be either 1 or 3 points against Watford. If we came out of there with the right confidence, we could possibly sneak a point at the Emirates and then a bank of 3 points last night. Well, that was clearly not going to happen. I think the points tally is appalling, but whilst we're all down and doom and gloomy, I still think, okay, I know I said it on our chat last night, I think we are potentially relegation fodder, but if he can get the confidence up, levels up with the group, I still think we've got a potential to end the season mid-table, and I really do.
Well, nice to hear you're optimistic. Tim, do you share that?
I didn't last night, if I'm honest. but, I mean, the Watford game in particular, to me, it just shows how fragile the confidence is at the moment. Because I thought we started very brightly, you know, to get in front. What was it, midway through the first half? Fantastic goal from Kumbaye. To have that great opportunity with a penalty. I mean, that's the fine lines between a win and a draw, as it happens. You know, if Benteke had just done what Troy Deeney did and just put his foot through it, probably would have been a different outcome. And I just think that would have made such a difference going into the second half. And that just kind of sums up where we are at the moment. We're just, you know, again, Steve Parish talked about we're having bad luck at the moment. And that's true. But it kind of leads to that kind of confidence as well. And you can kind of feel it draining from the crowd. And it's just like we're all kind of, you know, I think we're waiting for our season to kick in, really, aren't we?
Yeah. Been waiting a while.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Arsenal game, Luce. So that's something that we both went to, and you got those tickets right there in row 7. Nice and nice and sort of dry there, wasn't it? And really put me in a good mood to watch that game. So thanks for sorting those out.
Pleasure. It was horrendous, wasn't it?
It was frustrating. And I, again, to sort of knock it back to the Steve Parish interview where he talked about the fact you know, all bets are kind of off with Arsenal because if they're out their game, they'll beat you, kind of thing. Mm. It did feel like we weren't even at the races and weren't even prepared to take it to them. And if you look at what Bournemouth did the other night, went 3-0 up, okay, pegged back to 3-3. But that's how I felt. I felt I wanted to see at least, if we're going to lose, let's take them on. And we didn't, did we?
No, and there was just, like, to pick up from what Tim said about the Watford game, there was just no spirit, there's no fight, there's just, they all look broken, and it's really, really upsetting. And then last night, we'll come on to that, but, you know, it's heartbreaking to see that there's just that spirit that was so unbreakable is absolutely shattered. And it's not just with the fans, it is with the players. It's visible. It's visible on the pitch. It's, you know, they're silent across social media. I think someone pointed out Wilf is actually the only one that currently tweets and has any interaction with the fan base. It is what's happened. Like, I just, is it Pardew? Is it, I don't know.
That's the question everyone's really asking themselves. And, you know, I struggle with it myself. And, you know, Wilf quite rightly can hold his head up high and interact on social media, because no one's against him, because the guy puts in a proper shift. But I'm not one of those people who thinks if a team comes across as playing beneath themselves and lacklustre and all this kind of stuff, I'm not one who immediately goes to lack of effort, because I don't think there is a lack of effort. No. You think people who say the players don't care. I mean, Tompkins, I think, was having a bit of a nightmare yesterday, but in the third or fourth minute, he's rowing with other players about their lack of movement and all that kind of stuff. It's like, but I said it myself on Twitter the other day. Fear is paralysing. It really is. And this isn't just nervousness and a bit of anxiety. This is proper full on fear. When you go on to, just you take from Arsenal, for the game against Arsenal, we showed too much respect to a very, very good team. But that moves on, doesn't it, Nick? It moves on to from showing too much respect to actually fearing the loss against Swansea and allowing them to dictate the game.
Absolutely. I mean, they froze last night. Without any shadow of a doubt, they froze. I've worked something out. You know how old I am. I worked something out last night on the way home. This is my 40th year I've been going to Selhurst, okay? And something happened that I witnessed last night for the first time in 40 years of me watching Palace, okay? That I've never seen the crowd turn on the team as they did at the end of the first half. I've never seen them boo and then sing as they're booing to the players as they left the pitch. Now, you could argue some of that is that we are intermingled with some, i.e. inverted commas, plastic fans, maybe. Okay, but there was the atmosphere in the ground, even before kickoff last night, the atmosphere in the ground wasn't, and I think Tim could probably bail me out here because he was there as well. The atmosphere in the ground was subdued before we'd even kicked a ball. When Allardyce came on, he got a respectful round of applause. But even then, it was not anybody jubilant that we got a new manager, blah, blah, blah. It was just a very, very strange atmosphere inside the ground last night.
I was going to give you a chance to come in there, Tim, but now I have to explain that. Oh, I didn't make the game because of traffic, unfortunately, but I did get home and watch it in time, so I did see every single second of it. And I would say those half-time boos, Nick, they were with feeling. There might be some theatrics in there, as you suggest, but those boos were with feeling. As Steve said in the interview earlier on, probably deserved it as well. You know, it was an abject first half.
Yeah.
Obviously, fatigue was mentioned and does come into it. There's no denying that at all. And it's interesting, wasn't it, Tim, that see Sam Allardyce come out in the press afterwards and say that's on him. You know, he picked the same team as he picked against Arsenal, near enough, barring Flamini. And it was his fault for not recognising just how much of an impact that would have had. It was good to see, wasn't it?
I mean, how refreshing is that to get such an honest interview after the game? I think it's fair to say we've not seen that for a long time. It's always been everyone else's fault, bar the manager, in recent times. And you know, fair play to Sam for actually putting his hands up and saying, look, I've made mistakes. I mean, he's been in a short period of time. We kind of don't really expect him to turn it around that quickly anyway. It's going to take time, isn't it? And, you know, to put his hands up and say, yeah, okay, you know, that's my fault, let's move on. You know, full respect for that, to be honest.
Yeah. Because of the length of the Steve Parish interview, we're not going to go on too much longer, but I do want to kind of do these next few minutes, these final few minutes, with some positivity. And there's a few reasons we can do that. First of all is, I do think it's a very different game if we get the penalty decisions that we should have got. Again, Steve has talked about those already, so we don't need to go over them, but there were two clear penalties, and I must admit I didn't spot the handball immediately, but the replay of handball is so blatant, it's unbelievable. But the Benteke one, there was a guy on Twitter, I actually quoted him off our radio account, saying, you know, that Benteke's gone down after he's jumped and landed. And it's like, you don't, when you, if you're a player who's diving, you actually, you can't physically dive and injure yourself, really. It's kind of completely counterintuitive to hurt yourself in that way. So there's no doubt whatsoever. I take it none of you have got any doubt whatsoever that those were two penalties.
No, absolutely. I mean, the Benteke one, whilst I couldn't see it from the Holmesdale end, because it was obviously up the far end, it's up the Whitehall's end, when I saw it back on the replay today, I was just staggered. I mean, how he didn't give that, admittedly, I didn't see the handball either, so you could, again, put that down to my age and my eyesight, but the Benteke thing was, oh, talk about crystal clear. It was just amazing.
Mind you, Lou, who would have taken that penalty?
Now, there's a question.
Wayne Hennessy.
Good shout. I haven't seen him miss any. No, and look, and I think we've got to also talk about the moment of just pure brilliance from Wilfried Zaha. And let's give him true credit. A great cross from Martin Kelly. In the right area, putting the ball in a good zone. But the finish from Wilf, oh my God. Tim, that was great, wasn't it, mate? Great.
Oh, I'm in the upper Holmesdale, so I had a fantastic view of that one. You know, that was just beautiful to see that go in the back of the net. Like you say, great cross in. It was just perfect. And honestly, I thought at the time, wow, this could be a perfect ending here. You know, we're going to turn this around, you know, turn this game around and get 3 points here. Because suddenly the crowd were lifted. Yeah. Everyone was behind the team. And, you know, we thought this was the moment.
Tim, I said we were going to end positively.
It was a great goal. It was a fantastic goal.
Stop hinting about what's to come. we know we concede late. That's just what happens. So let's just marvel in that goal a bit more. Did you prefer it to his goal against Hull or not, Nick? There's your choice.
Well, somebody said today that it's actually, they're both potential, although we've been proved wrong there, but both potential goals of the season, weren't they? His goal, I'll tell you what was great about that. Again, we're talking about the atmosphere. Did it come across on the TV that when the goal went in and the fans then looked at it on the electronic screen and to see what a fantastic strike it was, it was just like this noise in the ground was great, palpable. It was just like, oh my God, did that just really happen? Did Wilf just do that? It was a cracking goal. And good luck to the guy, and good luck to the guy if he's going to the African Cup of Nations.
I did really desperately want Pete someone to hide his passport or sellotape him to his chair or something like that. Just
and Sacco as well. Good luck in the Cup of Nations. But he had a great impact when he came on as well. So good luck to him as well.
Luce, you're just starting to speak there.
Sorry, Luce.
It's okay. I was just going to say that, you know, Wilf is our little glimmer of hope, isn't he? He has this knack of doing something, whether it's scoring a goal or, you know, doing one of his little tricks. It's just something. Every game, that no matter what happens, whether we lose or draw or win, he's that little glimmer of hope for us. And we kind of like look at him and think, do you know what? We've got him. Things can't, you know, be that bad. I just absolutely love him. I love him to bits. You know, he's like, you know, your little brother that you just want to like just give a cuddle and just think, yes, you know what, you're brilliant. And just that goal, it was, I'm speechless.
You're still struggling. Now, it was a moment of absolute beauty. I cannot, you know, having a player who can do that, and that player having come through our academy as well, it's the greatest feeling. And it's why, you know, everyone talks about his celebrations. It's why he celebrates like that. You know, I'm sure he enjoys that on a personal level, scoring those goals. But, you know, I'm not sure. I worry about him going anywhere, because I worry if he'll be the same player elsewhere. But that worry is starting to sort of fade away, which is probably a bad thing, because the maturity he shows now, the fact that he understands his role, the fact that defensively he's a solid winger now. You know, you can rely on him to get back and put challenges in. You can rely on him to relieve pressure when he needs to relieve pressure. But not only that, he's just got this air of confidence about him now that he was always, you know, he was always confident, but now it's just gone on to that another level where he actually believes, hold on, I'm not just, you know, a decent Premier League player here. I'm a top Premier League player, and I'm still improving. That's how I feel about him now. He's, you know, he's all we've got right now.
Yep.
But his reaction as well, I mean, that to me is like a fan's reaction. The way, like, he's hit the ball in the back of the net and he's gone off celebrating like probably we would if we had that chance to score in front of the Homesdale.
To be fair, I'd be a little bit slower with my celebration.
You would?
Yeah, I could do the finish, but I think my leg would probably travel further than the ball.
Still be picking yourself up.
It's just beautiful to see. And let's hope it you know, means a bit more in the future. Look, it's clear from what Steve Parish is saying that the club have a plan. You know, they're also looking out for the fact that the worst could happen. There's things in place there. But, you know, as Steve said, it's not in his nature to think we will be relegated. It's in his nature to think we're going to sort this out. And they're working sort of day and night to do that right now, which you can't ask for any more than that for the people at your club to just give everything that they've got. You know, it might not be successful. That's the bottom line. It's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Not everyone. Every year three teams will be relegated from the Premier League. That's a fact. And it won't be that all three of those teams have had people at the top who've made mistakes, because probably all 20 teams have had people at the top who've made mistakes or managers who've made the wrong decision. It's just, unfortunately, you know, it can be other factors as well. And it was really interesting to hear Steve talk about the sort of refereeing decisions and get into that when we started talking about luck as well. Because I think pretty much in a large percentage of the interviews we've done with anyone who's been involved in professional football, they all have a tendency to mention that bit of luck. That's that extra thing that people forget. I still feel that so much has gone against us. I really, really do. And it's, you know, we've had an entire 2016 of it. So let's hope it's all over and done with for 2017 as well now, and things will turn around. Because it's recorded this week, it means I can go. Guys, you've got anything else you want to add before we go?
Yes, I do, actually, if you don't mind. A bit of positivity. We're talking positives. Have you looked at the next, well, it's seven fixtures? Mr. Allardyce has already alluded to the fact that he's going to be putting out a team of reserves against Bolton in the Cup. Well, we can forget about that. West Ham away, Everton home, Bournemouth away, Sunderland home, Stoke away, and I think our season-defining game on the 25th of February will be Middlesbrough at home. And I think, and I've just been sitting there while you were chatting, Chris, and I think out of those 18 points, we will probably pull 12 points in, we will bag 12 points. And that, I really do, let's have some confidence. You heard what the chairman just said. The confidence isn't just the chairman. It's not just the board of directors. It's not just the players. It's not just the manager, but it's the fan base as well.
Yeah, totally agree. My 9 wins have gone out the window. I maintain that was under the previous manager, so that doesn't count. I'm not technically wrong.
Have you reset the counter?
I have, yeah. So I'm going to pick out a few more games. But look, you know, Nick, you usually get the predictions pretty much spot on. So I hope you're right on that sense. Luce, you got anything else to add?
No.
No, that's all right. We can edit that out so you don't sound ridiculous. Tim, you've had time to prepare now. Nick said something. Luce got bullied for not saying anything. Yeah. What have you got?
Well, my positive's going to be that I've got a feeling Julian Speroni is going to start at the weekend.
And I agree.
And I think that'd be fantastic because, he deserves another opportunity in front of, in our team. So fingers crossed that happens at Bolton.
Plus, he'd break the record for appearances, wouldn't he, for a goal?
Exactly. And it wasn't going to happen before, was it?
Tim, you could be so close to it because we actually mentioned that on the pod the other week. I reckon he'll break that record. Unfortunately, it's away from home and not at Selhurst. But that might be the positive lift the club needs.
Exactly.
There we go. Ending on some positivity as well. Thank you very much for downloading. Hope you enjoyed it. Bye.
Let's talk about the next generation of fantasy football at FanDuel. You select a team of Premier League players for a single day's fixtures. That means you're not locked in for the whole season. You can play, watch, and win in one day. When your players nail it on the pitch, you rack up points and jump up the real money leaderboard. FanDuel's scoring system uses Opta stats to reflect every player's true on-field contribution. So, outscore your opponents and win cash for your football expertise. Every Premier
Premier League Match Day with FanDuel. And just for Homesdale Radio listeners, we've got an extra special offer right now. When you sign up, use the promo code PALACE. That means if you don't make money in your first contest, FanDuel will refund your entry fee up to £10. So go to fanduel.co.uk and use the promo code PALACE to grab the offer now. What are you waiting for? Terms apply. Over 18s only. Please play responsibly.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.